Hello and welcome to The Property Exchange, your guide to the latest news, views and opinions in residential property, with Winkworth, with you every step of the way in the property market. Your host is writer and commentator Anne Ashworth.
This latest episode of the Property Exchange podcast. In this episode, London's villages, why buyers love these locations. London's most desirable villages, located in the heart of the city, not only have gorgeous homes but also green spaces, lively high streets and strong communities. So what's happening to house prices in these areas? What kind of buyers are looking for a property? Do they want a pied-à-terre or a forever home? And what about rents? Is a shortage of stock bidding up what tenants can expect to pay? To get some answers to some of these questions, I'm joined by Neil Sloan of Winkworth's St John's Wood and Maida Vale office and by Rod Heffernan of Winkworth West End. We've seen the figures showing that buyers seem prime central London properties, that's those with a value of 5 million plus, as a safe haven. I'd like to get some more details about this trend. First with you, Rod, and then over to you, Neil.
Well, I mean, the trend is going upwards. I mean, there's no question about it because people want to live in central London, especially around the areas of West End, be it Fitzrovia, Bloomsbury, Holborn, Covent Garden, Soho, and of course over towards Clerkenwell. You don't need a car here. All the colleges are here. The bus routes and all the trains, and now with the Elizabeth line opened, you can go from, I think, Tottenham Court Road to Heathrow in 24 minutes. And they love the hustle and bustle of the busyness of all the theatres and restaurants, etc. So, you know, they're prepared to pay what it takes to live in the West End and still be within walking distance of Regent's Park, Hyde Park and the River Thames. So, I mean, how much better does it get than that?
And they don't worry at all about taxes, Rod?
No, not taxes. When you got, you know, when you got a certain amount of money, and you're wealthy and successful, you know, you want all your children to be educated here, you want your wife to do the shopping here, you want to live here. We are steeped in history, and people just love it here. So taxes don't have anything to do with it. When you got the money, you want to spend it.
So Neil, do you see that the appeal of central London is almost unbreakable?
Yeah, I mean, historically over the years, you've always seen that property prices have only gone one way in the central London market. And that's simply because people want to live there. There's supply and demand is always an issue, which keeps the prices high. And there are attractive spots that you live in where you want to be, where you've never been before. So you've come over from another country, and you already know about St John's Wood, you already know about other parts of London in the central London area, and those are the spots that you go to.
The broader London market, what do you sense is the mood there? Is it more tentative than at the top end?
Well, yeah, I mean, the broader London market has really expanded more so. I mean, I've been an estate agent since September 1983, so I'm going back a long time. And basically speaking, if you look at the suburbs, you know, outside of St John's Wood, you go towards Muswell Hill, Hampstead, you go towards Burncombe, Sutring, Hemel Hempstead, you go towards Esher, Godalming, areas like that, they've just boomed and blossomed because obviously with what's happened with COVID, people have suddenly realised that, you know, the whole world is computerised. So you can spend 3-4 days a week working from home, just come in for one. So consequently, a lot of people who've needed gardens and have wanted the bigger space but haven't been able to afford it in the West End have consequently put their properties on the market, sold them and moved out 25-30 miles. And for some it works, others it doesn't, they want to stay in. But yeah, the property market's been affected all over, just spanning out. And where Neil works in St John's Wood is one of the most attractive areas in the whole of London. And it's only, what, a mile and a half, 2 miles at the most? You can walk it in 25 minutes from the West End to St John's Wood. And you've got Regent's Park. It's just a leafy, gorgeous area.
So London has everything that a person could need. Green spaces, great education, hustle and bustle, gorgeous architecture and the rest. But the threat of recession, what could that mean for this market? First to you, Neil.
I think there's been recessions over the past, and the most robust market is central London. And I think the reason for that is because people want to be there. The people we appeal to can afford to be there through recession. There's a lot of old money and a lot of new money coming into it, and which keeps the prices where they will be going up. You know, we can't really see any more clouds on the horizon.
Rod, do you sense any concerns about rising interest rates among your clients?
Not really. No, I think Neil has just wrapped it up in one go. I mean, he's absolutely right. No, I mean, interest rates, inflation, at the end of the day, these people are cash rich. I mean, about, I don't know, 90% of all our buyers are cash. So if there's a bit of a downturn and they need to sell, they say, well, if we can't get the price we want, which is fair enough, then what we'll do is we'll rent or we'll leave it empty. So no, they're not really bothered. What they want is convenience, practicality. They want the children to be educated at the 5 best colleges in the country, which are all around the West End, bar Oxford and Cambridge, of course. And they just feel very safe here and very solid and very, very earthed. You know, they like it here. They just like it. And there's plenty to do for the children besides study. So you couldn't have any better.
I think one thing that should be said is that people have been buying property in central London for years as an investment. And that investment, in my lifetime as an estate agent and before, has been the best investment you could put into is property. You know, I've seen prices go up from properties being 250,000 to selling at 4 million, you know, in my lifetime, you know, which is long, but not as long as some.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I mean, if anybody says to me, where do you make your money in property? Well, the longer you can keep it for, the more money you make. If you don't have to sell, don't sell. So if you bought, you know, 3, 4, 5, a dozen properties 30, 40 years ago, you're sitting on a huge fortune. And, you know, it's the same now. People look at the prices now and think, oh, my God, you know, look at what you're paying now. But in 30, 40 years' time, it'll be the same again.
To you, Neil. You head up Winkworth's office in St John's Wood and Maida Vale. For people who don't know those really rather gorgeous central London villages, can you take us on a little tour?
Well, I should hope so. I grew up there, so if I can't take you on a tour, I don't think there's anyone that can. I mean, St John's Wood as an area is made up predominantly on a grid system. They're mainly flats, which tend to mean that houses are at a premium and get some phenomenal figures. You've got wide open spaces of Primrose Hill. In fact, you've got so many parks, it's hard to actually name them all, but I'll give you Primrose Hill, St John's Wood Park, Violet Hill Park and Regent's Park as a few. And they're all very close to each other. So you've got wide open spaces in the middle of central London, and it literally takes, as Rod said earlier, 20-minute walk from Regent's Park to Regent Street when you're in the middle of everything. The houses are, you've got a selection from terraced to large ambassadorial detached houses of the Avenue Road and Hamilton Terrace to the quiet streets of Cavendish Avenue, which are all well populated by stars, celebrities and people that want to keep a quiet life. And they're very well hidden, and people leave them alone.
Now, we call these places villages. Is that just estate agency talk?
No, it's been a village since the Knights of St John's, going way back to the past. It's actually called a village, St John's Wood Village. And it is, to me, it's the last village before you hit mayhem. When you go into Marylebone, etc., it's much busier, much more in your face,
yeah.
Much more noise. It's a different way of living, you know. And I didn't drive until I was an estate agent, until I became 30. I didn't drive because I just walked to the West End, or I got in a taxi. At the time, the taxi was £5, not £25. But, you know, it was just a different way of life. And Maydevale the same. Maydevale, you've got Little Venice, which is exactly what it says it is. There's the canal, which is amazing, living on the waterside. You've got some fabulous houses there, white stucco villas. It's an amazing area. And, you know, I walk round it, and I've been walking round it since I was five. And every day, I just look at it with amazement, how wonderful it is. You know, it's one of the best areas in London.
It's one of the best areas in London, but are there any streets or areas within Maydevale and St John's Wood that are not as smart as the rest and could be the next hotspots?
Well, I think what's happened, as in a lot of areas, is things have gone outward. So whereas before Little Venice was prime, then Maydevale became more chic, because when I was a child, Maydevale wasn't a great area. That grew, and now it's gone into what they now she call Maydehill, which is the new area, which kind of joins onto Queen's Park, which has had phenomenal growth. I mean, properties there that used to get 500,000 are now 2 million. Mm. You know, so that's also pushed out and pushed out.
And I want to get an idea of price of admission to this glorious place. Best in class house in St John's Wood, what would you expect to pay?
Best in class, up to 100 million. There's one on the market now at 79. There's many at 50, 40. You don't get much less than 30 for a really stunning house.
And if I wanted a very smart family house, would there be anything available?
Not much. They tend to go under offer as soon as we know that there's one available. I mean, we've got buyers sitting there waiting for them. They are rare. The east side's more favoured than the west, which is slightly odd, but it's closer to the high street. So I think that's probably why. But I came from the west side of St John's Wood. I kind of think the west side's nicer, but, you know, people like to be close to everything, and you can't get much closer than the east side, which will be close to St John's Wood Tube and the fabulous High Street.
And a flat or a contemporary apartment? A flat and one of the mansion blocks, what kind of price are they?
Again, you're looking from one bedrooms being 450, 500,000, up to one bedrooms being 1 million, 1.2. You can get flats at 450, 450,000, but there's something for everyone. I mean, studio flats, which I always think is the first entry point, and where mum and dad help you. They used to help with one beds, it's now more studios, to be honest, are around 350,000.
So, rents in St John's Wood, Maydevale, what can you expect to pay a month?
A month, well, if you start off with a one bed, you're probably looking at about 2,000 a month. And you're going, I mean, the end of the scale is infinitesimal. Yeah, at the moment, the biggest problem you've got is finding any rentals. Again, it's a very much... The rental market when there was COVID was there were so many properties and nobody could move, to the point where since then it's been saturation point. Everyone's been moving in. I think a lot of people that have bought outside London because of COVID are getting bolt holes of one bedroom, two bedroom properties, so they've got somewhere to stay. You know, we've got saturation point with the London Business School, you've got the American School. You know, all these schools which are known and are, you know, people come from overseas to go to, have really rocketed the rental market beyond all recognition. And we can't see it abating.
Are there any investors coming around and saying, we see this demand for rentals, we'd like to invest?
Some. I think it's less than it used to be because of taxes and little nuances that have made it less attractive to do that, and the service charge because of utilities are a little bit, you know, it doesn't quite balance. So I think there's more chance of people, the ones that are in there or buying for their sum, which they might rent later on, yes. Mm. I think the institutionalised rental landlord, there seems to be less of them, and they're reducing their portfolio and getting the money out while it, you know, while the going's good and there's a lack of property.
Now, Rod, we're going to head into the West End,
yes,
to your patch, which, yep, covers, I think, half a dozen villages. I may have missed something out. Marylebone, Bloomsbury, Covent Garden, Soho and Holborn.
Yeah.
Right, you're going to take us on a tour and what it's like to live there.
Well, I mean, Marylebone is called Chelsea of the North. I mean, it's a beautiful place. I mean, it's as Neil said, it's very, very busy, bustling, huge amount of traffic going in and out with people. And it's a lovely place to live, and it's very, very expensive because it's in huge demand. Because, you know, people talk all the time. They talk on aeroplanes, they talk in bars, they talk business-wise about where you're buying, where you're living. Oh, we live in Marylebone. Or what's it like there? What's, you know, how much is it? And then suddenly they get interested and they start contacting estate agents. Covent Garden is just a beautiful place with a lot of history, with all the theatres and restaurants and the piazza, etc., and is a very big tourist spot as well. And that is just a lovely place to walk through, actually, just like Marylebone is, but slightly different, more historical in some ways. And Soho, well, that, as I cycle every day up from Hammersmith, I go past Soho and I go through Soho, depending how busy, you know, Piccadilly is, etc. And what amazes me is that, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, it was very dirty and it needed complete and utter modernization. And that's all taken place over the last 30 odd years. The place is spotless. They got three rubbish collections a day there. And I see the guys, you know, with the big water pipes and everything early in the morning. And it's really, it's if you're interested in fun, you know, you want to go clubbing, you want to go discoing, you want to eat out in all the restaurants. Well, I mean, there's so many there to choose from. The nightlife is incredible, but it goes on till about 5 a.m. in the morning. So if you're going to go to sleep, make quite sure you've got big headphones on like me and Neil have. Holborn is a bit more serious, you know, it's where all the companies are, and Bloomsbury as well. Bloomsbury a little bit lighter, a lot of big red brick mansion blocks. And the other thing about Bloomsbury is it's got five squares, which if you look at any other city, including Paris, doesn't exist. Five beautiful squares, an acre, 2 acres each, opened in the morning by the Parks Police, shut in the night by the Parks Police, beautifully maintained, all with coffee shops for the public to go in. And they're all public squares, except the odd private square like Bedford Square, where you have to, you know, be an owner flat in Bedford Court Mansions or Ridgemount Gardens. And that is just lovely. It's just wonderful, isn't it? That you can actually be in central London with all this activity around you. Yeah, you've got all this greenery and you wouldn't know it was there unless you're paying attention. So Bloomsbury, a lot of red brick mansion blocks. You've got LSUCL. And you've got some of, as I said, the best colleges going. And then, of course, Holborn is more commercial, a lot more offices, a lot more big companies. But once again, above all the shops, red brick mansion blocks with all the residential flats. But also the thing is that, say you own a flat in Holborn, you want to go to Heathrow. You just walk down to Tottenham Court Road, 24 minutes, by Elizabeth Line. You can walk to, as I said before, Regent's Park. You can walk to any of the squares. You just sport rotten. And then if you need to go up, say, to, I don't know, Suffolk, Lincolnshire, just get on. You can walk to King's Cross, get on the train, and woof, you're up there. So it really has some huge attractions, you know. And the price is there. Well, as I agree with Neil, long term, you just can't go wrong. I mean, they're just going to continue going up and up and up, because any area that is desired for a reason. and people will pay what it takes to live there. And that's it.
Now, to an outsider, the centre of London would seem impersonal, rather unfriendly. But what you're saying is that these villages have very strong communities.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I've been here 20 years, so you look at Great Titchfield Street and Great Portland Street, it is now called Great Titchfield Village. Have you been to Great Titchfield Village?
I actually have. Yeah. This is a great and gorgeous street in Fitzrovia.
That's
Tell
right.
us what makes it a village.
Well, it's like the Riding House Cafe. It's like the Italian pizza restaurants. It's like the Greek restaurants at the top end. You've got the Princess Grace Hospital up there. You can walk 500 metres and you cross over the main Marylebone Road and you're straight into Regent's Park. I mean, it is just so central, and it's got a very bohemian, arty feel to it. Not just like Soho or Covent Garden, but Great Titchfield Village, where a lot of the actors and directors have sort of pied-à-terres, and they go out at night and they eat and they sit outside. It's just great. And then if you go over to North Bloomsbury, you've got Marchmont Street, and you've got the Brunswick Centre, which for years and years was, with all due respect to it, a hellhole. But the council and the housing association got together and spent £39 million on redeveloping it. And now it's like Oxford Street, a miniature Oxford Street with a great Waitrose. And everyone says to me, have you ever bought fish from Waitrose there? I said, no, I haven't bought fish from Waitrose there. Why should I? But everybody says the fish in that Waitrose is just incredible. It's amazing, isn't it, what you pick up. And they got an Everyman cinema, and they're right next to a park, Gordon Square. And now it's called Marchmont Village. And there's been a number of famous people who live there, including the actor Kenneth Williams, and Stuart Granger had a flat there. And, you know, it's just a fascinating, full of restaurants, full of boutique little barbers and stuff like that. And it's just transformed. And it's really improved. I mean, you know, and it's now bustle with lots of people in and out. So, great.
So, if I was thinking of trying before I buy in one of these areas, what kind of money would I need to find in rent every month?
It's not far off St John's Wood. I mean, you need £500 a week minimum for a one bedroom. You need about £750 to £800 for a two. And for a three bedroom, you need £1,000 a week plus. Because of the five colleges around us, King's, LSE, UCL, SOHAS, and there's one more, which I've forgotten, the rents will always be extremely high because of the overseas students coming in from Malaysia, Singapore, Hong Kong, and China, mainly. And about 85% of all our lets are done to them, with the other 15% being a mixture of Brits and Europeans and Americans. But mainly it's the Chinese who are just pouring in and want to rent and have got the money. And that's never going to die down. I mean, when we had the COVID, prices dropped 25, 30%. Everyone was going back home. Some were paying their rent, some weren't. So there was a huge influx of property coming on the market because obviously the landlords were panicking. But that's all completely changed now. And we're back to higher prices than what we had in 2018.
So any interest from investors?
No. Once again, what Neil said was right. I think if you're going to be an investor now, you're going to have to be a huge company with 20-odd thousand flats or whatever, because the rules and regulations in buying a property and renting it out with everything you've got to do to it, and then the the new laws that have come in to protect the tenant, which is fair enough, and laws for the landlord as well, have made it not so attractive for small-time people to buy, just two or three. You've just got to be careful. It's the big organisations that will hang on to what they've got because of the income, because the income's going up through the roof. And it's also spreading out of London. It is actually spreading out of London. So people actually will take a train journey in. If you go to Tring in Hertfordshire, which is very near where I spent a lot of my childhood, there's now four or five people for every single flat that is being rented, and they're going to seal bids, which was never heard of before, because they may not be able to afford the London prices. So it's booming in the centre, and then, as Neil said, it spreads out.
So, gentlemen, you've taken us on a wonderful tour of your areas. I'm going to ask you one question each before we wrap up. Neil, the best thing about your part of town?
So much open space, so many parks, so much to do, so many great restaurants.
Rod?
Well, I mean, I can't really... I have to emphasise the same thing. I mean, it's very central. You're in the middle of everything. You can walk everywhere. At the same time, you've got beautiful restaurants, all the theatres, and you've got great public transport.
Neil and Rod, thanks for really proving to us that if you're tired of London, you're tired of life. Thanks very much for joining us for this episode of The Property Exchange. It's been great to chat and share ideas. Do subscribe and join us for next month's podcast, where we will be looking at another hot topic in the property market. If you want to know more, be sure to subscribe.
This has been the Property Exchange podcast. For more information, go to winkworth.co.uk or find us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. The producer was Tom Maddox. For more episodes, make sure to subscribe to your favourite podcast provider.